Hey Jamie, it's Angela. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can
Okay, great. I've been having some sound issues.
Okay, can everyone hopefully see a PowerPoint on your screen now? Hopefully it has loaded. So let's go ahead and get started. Appreciate everyone joining early this morning on a Tuesday. At least it's sunny out, and we thought it would be helpful for us to have kind of a quick check-in and provide you some HR updates. We typically have, our HR Business Partners group, which is a smaller group, but wanted to expand this and extend it to anyone who supervises, because there's quite a bit of good information today that is relevant for this current time period in terms of some changes to reporting and some benefits. So definitely wanted to make sure that you had all this up-to-date information and answer any questions that you have. We have several presenters and speakers today from the System Human Resource Services. So as they share their information, they can introduce themselves. And then also at the end, we're going to allow plenty of time for questions and answers. So you're welcome to type questions in, but if you'd like to wait towards the end, we'll have probably at least 15 to 20 minutes for a Q&A session about any of the material that we provided. We will provide this PowerPoint on our website later today or tomorrow, as well as we will be trying to record this. So if you have staff that this would be helpful for them and they weren't able to join, then there should be a recording up as well that you can watch it at a later time. So I want to welcome my colleagues from my office, and unless there are any initial questions, we're going to go ahead and get started. And please watch the screen as they'll be progressing the PowerPoint slides. And I'm going to turn it over now to Katie Ross.
Good morning. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. Great. First couple things we have related to SERS and some changes that were anticipated with the self-managed plan. Originally, SERS was going to implement those changes in June, but that's been delayed until September 1st. And that will give a little bit more time for the changeover from Fidelity and TIA to the new record keeper, which there will be a new single record keeper. It will be Voya. They're also working on a name change for the self-managed plan. It's going to be called the SERS Retirement Savings Plan, or the SERS RSP instead of SMP. So a couple things to look forward to there. There will be, because there's a new record keeper, there will be a new suite of funds. They will have funds that map to the current investment categories, but they will just be a different selection of funds. So more information will be coming for current SMP members on how that changeover will work, whether if they will make a decision on which new funds to invest in or whether their existing funds will be mapped to the new funds. Additionally, with the September 1st changes, they anticipate implementing what they're calling a new lifetime income solution for the self-managed plan. So currently, if somebody is retiring from the SMP, they would need to annuitize their entire balance in order to maintain retiree health insurance benefits through CMS. This new lifetime income solution option will allow SMP retirees to annuitize a portion of the balance and still receive the health insurance benefits. So we really don't have very much information at all on how that will work, but if somebody is thinking about wanting to exercise that option, retiring before September 1 or shortly thereafter, SERS is willing to have one-on-one phone discussions to determine if that might be an option for somebody that's looking to retire this summer. So watch for more SMP communication to come. I anticipate that we'll receive more ourselves and be communicating to SMP members, but also SMP members should be watching for, the information to come directly to their homes from CSRS. Also, the benefit choice, annual benefit choice open enrollment period will begin May 1st as usual. I think this year it goes through June 1. I think there's a weekend in there on the way that the dates fall, so it's May 1 to June 1 this year. And as, if you've been around for a few years, you'll remember this is done now online at the state's website at mybenefits.illinois.gov. So if you're new this year, please go out and register on that website. Or if you haven't been out there to that website since last year's benefit choice, it would be a really good idea now to find your password or reset your password on the website so you're all ready to go for May 1st. A couple changes to expect this year for benefit choice. There will be a new premium cost structure where the costs will actually differ slightly by the plan that you've selected. So in the past, if you were in a managed care plan, such as an HMO or an open access plan, they would be essentially the same cost for that choice. Now, for example, Blue Cross Blue Shield will have a little different cost than Health Alliance that will be different from the OAP, et cetera. So something new to expect there. And with that, you will be seeing cost increases for each salary band and for dependent coverage. This is the first cost increase that we've had since fiscal year 2014. And it is not the drastic cost increase that was proposed by former Governor Rauner a few years ago, but it is pretty significant when we haven't had cost increases in a while. So CMS will be sending out a booklet. They will be mailing printed paper booklets to employees' homes. Those will be put in the mail on April 22nd, tomorrow. So those should be arriving at your homes fairly soon. And there's a lot of detail about the new cost structure and the new cost for employee premiums included in that booklet. You'll also see in the booklet that there are a couple of new options this year. There's going to be what's called a consumer-driven health plan option. Some people might know it as a high-deductible plan, and it has a it has a health savings account option. You'll also be able to re-enroll in flexible spending accounts for medical care expenses, the MCAP or the dependent care expenses, the DCAP. One thing to keep in mind, and this is covered in the booklet, but you can't be in both the health savings plan and the flexible spending account for medical care. It's one or the other. Also, some changes to medical care plan expenses that are actually retroactive to January 1st, 2020. Over-the-counter medications and medical products that were at one time allowed to be pre-tax from your MCAP flexible spending account and then were no longer allowed will once again be allowed for the MCAP. So you'll be able to, if you've got receipts back to January 1, you'll be able to reimburse those in this year, and then going forward in the new plan year, you'll be able to reimburse those over-the-counter medications again. Again, watch for the benefit choice booklet. It's mailing out to all of our homes this week. And finally, just a quick reminder about the CMS dependent audit. Several of you who cover dependents on your health insurance may have received a letter in the mail asking for documentation to verify that your dependents are authorized to be on the health insurance. The deadline for that has been extended a couple of times, but the new deadline extension is June 18th. So please be sure that if you've received the letter, you are responding appropriately, sending your documents to the auditor, which is HMS. And if you are not sure if you still have your letter or submitted your documents but need to check the status, or just not sure if you're subject to the audit, you can go out to the auditor's website, which is verifyos.com. www.ReferenceNumber.com. And there is a way to use either the reference number from your letter to check your status or to put in some information about yourself and determine if you have a reference number. So there's a link that says Find My Reference Number. And that's what you want to use if you're not sure if you're subject to the audit or if you lost your letter or something like that, because it will, if it returns a reference number, then yes, you're subject to the audit and you need to respond. If you have put in all of your information and it doesn't find a reference number, then you would not need to respond to the audit. And all of this information is out on our homepage at hr.uillinois.edu. And I think that's all the benefit updates I have.
Thanks, Katie.
Sure.
And now Ann Jennings and Denise Winsor are going to talk about the new Families First Coronavirus Response Act.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Ann. And Denise and I are going to tag team for the next couple of minutes. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act was signed into law last month. It became effective April 1st, just a few weeks ago. And what this law does is it requires many private employers and most public employers to provide paid leave to employees who are directly affected by COVID-19. And this is to not only protect employees, but to also, from a public policy standpoint, to slow the spread of the virus through paid leave options. Hopefully, everyone over the last couple of weeks has received at least one communication from System HR about this. And I know several of you on this call from your teams have participated in the system-wide work group to implement this. So for some, this may be familiar. For others, this will be brand new. And I do encourage you to visit our website that is the System HR website, which the URL is shown there on the bottom of the slide, where it has more detailed information. So before we get into some of the detail on the leaves, I'd like to give just a quick overview of the types of, there are two types of paid leave, and just a quick overview about what they have in common. So the first one is emergency paid sick leave, and this generally provides up to 2 weeks of paid leave for reasons that are related to either the employee's self-care or need to quarantine because of COVID-19, a reason to care for another individual that either needs to quarantine or is affected by COVID-19, or for the employee to care for their own child when school or daycare is closed, again, because of COVID-19 reasons. There's also an expanded family and medical leave component, and that provides up to 12 weeks of paid leave and is for the employee to care for their own child when school or daycare is closed. And that expanded family and medical leave is shared with regular FMLA leave entitlement. And I know we're on the emergency paid leave emergency paid sick leave slide. I'm going to run through just a couple more things, and then I will turn it over to Denise to go through the detail on this particular slide. So both of these leaves apply to, are for all of our employees, for regular benefit eligible employees, but it's also extended by law to our extra help, academic professional, and our undergrad and grad students, as well as public safety and healthcare providers. To be eligible for this leave, you have to have a qualifying reason, a COVID-19 qualifying reason, and Denise will go over those in just a minute. But a key point here, a very key point, is that the employee must be unable to work at their usual work site or unable to telework because of the qualifying reason that they are claiming. The pay for the leave will be at either the regular rate of pay or two-thirds the regular rate of pay, again, based on the qualifying reason for leave. And both leaves will require an employee to complete an application to provide employee certification that they do meet at least one of the qualifying leave reasons, and then it must go through system HR approval. Lastly, and I know this was on the prior slide, this is temporary. So the law itself became effective again on April 1st, but it expires December 31st. So all leave requests have to happen during that time frame. It's expected that leaves would extend past that time frame, but requests and applications and approvals must happen within the April 1st to December 31st window. So now there are some important differences between these two types of leave, and I'm going to turn it over to Denise to walk through those. And Joy, for reversing the slide, and I'm going to turn it over to Denise now.
Thanks, Anne. I'll just add a couple of things to Anne's presentation. And first is, if you have an employee asking questions about the emergency paid sick leave or the expanded FMLA leave, just like now, please refer them to our office or you can let us know. And we are more than happy to reach out and discuss the leave types and determine if it is beneficial for them to apply. And we will handle all of that for you just like we do today. So Anne kind of covered the high points of the emergency paid sick leave. It does cover the employee caring for an individual as well as school and daycare closures. And then number six, we have to be determined because we have not yet heard of any other conditions by the Secretary of Health. Numbers one through three are at the employee's regular full pay, and numbers four through six are at two-thirds pay. For the expanded family and medical leave, this does share hours with any current FMLA events that the employee may have. And if they've already exhausted their FMLA entitlement for their FMLA event year, then they would not qualify for this leave since it does share. The eligibility is 30 days of employment. And we have an application out on the website that we showed on the first screen in our leave section. It looks similar to the FMLA application with a little, you know, differences since it needs to be very specific to the COVID-19. And that is turned into our office. And then we review everything and we'll issue the approval letter. For academic employees, we can utilize ABSL to track this. ABSL has been updated with the help of AITS. And for civil service, just like today, we will put all of the information in for time reporting. And one difference is that the supervisors will have to enter the time in the time sheets for the employee. And Joanne Walker in our office has attended all of the meetings, is the subject matter expert on that. And so you can reach out to our office should you have an employee approved that's civil service. And if you need help walking through that, then that's what we're here for. We're here to help you navigate the timesheets. And so that's all I have for right now. Thank you.
Okay, and then next we're going to hear from Angela Foster. And just a reminder to please check your screen and make sure that you are muted. We are hearing some typing and talking, so if you don't mind to make sure that you do that so that we can hear the presenters, and then we will at the end have that time for FAQs, and you'll be able to unmute at that time.
Okay, good morning, everyone. So wanted to provide some updates to everybody about the hiring. And so we've been getting lots of questions about this. And for the moment, we are proceeding with all hiring activities. And so if you have an academic professional position or a professional civil service position, we are proceeding as we generally have been. There are a few instances where If you have a traditional, what we call a traditional civil service position, perhaps like an office support specialist or the office support series where there are actual registers, if they have a current register, we can go ahead and proceed, but there could be some instances where there's not a current register. And because of the current social distancing, we are not able to bring candidates in to test. So that is the one area that we may have delayed hiring. So it has affected some promotions proceeding because we haven't been able to do the test, but otherwise everything else is proceeding. We are still also doing, some units have reached out to us about student hiring. And so we just want everyone to be cautious about proceeding with summer hires for students for this summer until some final decisions have been made. Our biggest concern is that we're not hiring students that are not in the U.S. due to other policies and laws that we want to make sure that we're being cognizant of following. So if you have any questions about student hiring, feel free to reach out to Joanne Walker in our office. And then obviously anything with your regular hires, feel free to reach out to Melissa, myself, Gracie. So as we continue to do hiring, we have been encouraging units to delay start dates until at least mid-May to avoid any kind of complications with bringing someone on board. But we are still, able to, in most counties, get our background checks back. And so we have seen some delays in the northern counties in the Chicago region, so Will County, McHenry, and Cook. And so we will work with you if you are hiring on the Chicago campus in the Chicago area, we will work with you in terms of your candidate starting if we have not gotten the background check back yet. So that leads me to the onboarding. And so, we again have suggested a mid-May start date or later. We don't have very many people that have employees starting prior to that date. But we are still going to have the ability to onboard employees remotely. And so if you have some current searches and you might be in a position to hire someone that is not already, like we're not back to work, the shelter in place is still going on, start thinking about how you might onboard people and train them virtually. So we do have the ability to do the remote I-9. Equipment would still have to be issued. So just be thinking of all those things. If you have a current open search or have made a recent offer, this could impact you. But as far as the system HR office is concerned, we're here and we're available to assist you with onboarding someone, even if it's remotely. And we are going to continue to do new employee orientations. And so we have converted our process to a webinar. We've condensed it just slightly to accommodate anybody that's not in the office. And so once the shelter in place has been removed, we'll go back to our normal format and have the new employee orientations in person on the Chicago and Urbana campus. So for Urbana, we have a new employee orientation coming up. So if you have a new hire and you haven't heard anything about the new employee orientation, make sure you contact Melissa. And for Chicago, feel free to reach out to Gracie. Another just kind of a reminder, so the academic vacation and sick leave annual reporting period is coming up in May. And so we will send out a reminder from our office probably the first week of May, but just wanted to remind everybody that that is coming up, and we would ask that everybody get all their calendars through May 15th submitted and approved by their supervisor to assist Denise's group with getting the reporting completed. And then there are some differences in reporting time right now during COVID-19. Mostly on the civil service side. So if you have a civil service employee that perhaps is working or is being paid but not working, we don't think we have very many of those situations, or a student that's working and not getting paid, there are special earn codes that we should be using so that we can track kind of the financial pieces that are tied to this period of time with COVID. So if you're not sure what earn codes you should be using, feel free to reach out to Melissa's group, Joanne's group. They can help assist with the proper earn codes that need to be used. And I know I'm going a little bit fast, but I want to make sure we have plenty of time for the rest of the presenters. And then the last item that I wanted to cover was just a reminder that ethics training is due May 1st. And so we will start reaching out probably next week more frequently if you have not completed that, but we encourage you to get your employees to complete the ethics training. And then just a few other compliance matters that aren't necessarily our area, but just a reminder, since we have so many people on the call, that cybersecurity training is due and the economic statement of interest is also due. And I think that is all of my updates.
Okay, thanks, Angela. And next we have Justin Lacey. And if you haven't had an opportunity to meet Justin, he is our new Assistant Director for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and joined our office in January. So we're excited to have Justin on board, and he's going to give you a couple of updates from his area as well.
Thank you so much, Jamie. So good morning, everybody. Yeah, just a couple of quick updates. First, I wanted to let everybody know that the system office, we have put our ADA accommodation form online now. It is officially on our website. It's under the diversity tab as well as under the forms. So if any of your employees would like to submit an ADA request, they can do so electronically. They'll fill out the form. It'll come to me directly, and then I will be in contact with them to start the interactive process. We also have a PDF on there as well. So if somebody prefers just to print off the form and fill it out manually, that's certainly fine as well, and then they can submit it to us that way. And during, you know, the COVID-19 situation, if you have any employees who are requesting any type of accommodation, you know, whether because of COVID-19 or just for any other reason, and if you have questions about, you know, whether or not you should be accommodating them, feel free to contact me directly. I'm more than happy to talk through that with you, or if your employees want to contact me directly, happy to discuss that with them as well. But I just want to let everybody know that it is available online now. So yeah, we should be good to go there. And then the only other update that I had was about our affirmative action plan for 2019. We are in the process of finalizing last year's plan. I'm working with our vendor who helps kind of put all the data and make it all nice and pretty for us. We should be having those details back within the next month. And then once that information's back and we've had time to go through it, and if there are any placement goals or anything that we need to kind of let the departments know about, we'll contact you directly when we'll work with you on kind of how to look at the data, how to interpret the data, and if there are any placement goals or anything that we want to discuss, we'll have that interactive discussion with you, and we can see what options we have to try to make our affirmative action plan as good as we can. So happy to answer any questions at the very end, but yeah, those are my updates. Thank you, everybody, for your time.
Thanks, Justin. Also, just one quick correction back in Angela's. Donna has shared that the last item, it's not actually ethics training, it's the sexual misconduct prevention training that's due May 1st, and that the economic interest statements are now due June 1st, and that she indicated that this has been communicated to those who do need to file those. So just a couple of quick updates on that item. Okay, then I'm happy to turn it over to Jackie Billheimer and Teresa Olashevitz that are gonna give some updates and talk a little bit about wellness and organizational development. And we're not able to hear you, Jackie or Teresa, if you are talking.
I think Teresa might be. Let me look here. Oh, gosh.
Maybe, Jackie, you could go ahead and give your updates and then we'll go back to Teresa's.
Okay. So just a few updates with Delta. We named our Delta recipients in February, and normally we have the ceremony at the President's House in April. That was rescheduled to May, and then due to the COVID-19, we've postponed that again. We don't yet have a date, but we do hope to still be able to recognize those recipients, and we'll have to communicate a new date once we're able to get back to work or get back to the office. For APLP applications, so we recently just this morning sent notice that we are going to postpone our session at UIC that was scheduled for June 10th to the 12th this summer. So we'll be looking for a different date for that. And then we're also going to move the nomination and application period for the next cohort to the fall. We're still working some of that out, and we'll be communicating that at some point this summer on how that's going to be working. And then lastly, System Office Wellness. We decided we were going to roll out a wellness challenge this spring, partnering with HES, but due to everyone being at home and not being the right time, we're delaying that to the fall as well, hoping to be able to do that in the fall. What we are getting ready to put on the website this week and send out a communication about is we gathered up a list of some free programs that are being offered right now. So things like I think Peloton, Beachbody, there's also some emotional wellness, financial wellness resources that we have gathered, and it's not an inclusive list. Obviously, we can't capture absolutely everything out there, but it'll give employees something to look at and see if it's something that would work for them while we're working at home. And then we also have a goals worksheet that whatever your goal might be, we have a worksheet that can help you map it out and be able to achieve that goal. So looking forward to being able to offer some of the other things this fall. And as always, we thank you for your input with our recent survey. And it looks like Teresa says she can't get unmuted.
She's hanging up from the Skype and she's on her cell phone, so she should be able to talk here in just one second. If we could go back to her slides, Joy, and then she should be on. And maybe not.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, now we can, yes.
Yay, okay, well, hello everyone. This is Teresa Olashevich. Hopefully on the slides, you'll now see there's a slide called Staying Engaged and Energized. And so what I want to remind everyone of is that we've provided a variety of different resources for everyone to help help you stay focused and engaged and energized while remote working. And I'm displaying on screen here the site you would go to. So it's the System Human Resources Services, and specifically the Employee Development and Engagement page. And then if you go to the next slide, what you'll see is first the remote work and wellness articles, and we did different categories, but the first, the larger picture says remote wellness articles, managing social distance and isolation. We've been updating that page with new articles and things that come up as we've gone through this isolation time. So I just remind you to keep looking out there. We'll mark new resources as they come. I think at this point, everything I've been looking at is beginning to move into thinking about the future and how to begin thinking about transitioning back. Is it too early? You know, who's to say? but we will keep this updated. The other smaller little item, and hopefully you can see it now, is it's called Managing Remote Workers. And that we put that section we put in specifically for people leaders. So there's just different articles, tips, and hints on, you know, how to handle managing the remote worker, especially if you're used to seeing them every day. But then also things to help you with, you know, managing your own stress and uncertainty and other things that might be going on. If you have ideas or an article you think would benefit everyone, please email Jackie Bilheimer or myself at teresao@uic.edu, and we'll be happy to review it and put it up here. We're always willing to share and spread the love with regards to useful resources. So, Jackie, is there anything you would add?
I don't think so. You did great.
Thanks.
Okay, then I just have a couple of quick updates. In case you're not aware, there are two policies that are going to potentially be going to the May board meeting for approval. These are a result of the task force that worked on a couple of policies last year and made recommendations to the board in November around sexual misconduct. So the two policies, one is a policy on the consideration of sexual misconduct in prior employment, so it's part of the hiring process, and then the other is a policy on intimate personal relationships. We have a working group that is right now working on implementation plans. We will be implementing these if they get approved at the May meeting. We'll be implementing them and rolling them out later this summer at the beginning of the academic year. So you'll be hearing more about that because pieces of it will impact our hiring process and mostly on the back end for our office, but just so you're aware of what that process will be. And then there'll also be a reporting mechanism for staff that do have relationships with individuals that fall under this policy. So want to just let you know that those will hopefully get approved here soon, and then we'll be communicating more about how that will impact our processes for the system offices. The second thing is just COVID-19 updates, and most of this has been covered by all the other presenters today, but as you know, there are a lot of changes and that we've had to make during this time period of working remotely, and one of those, Angela mentioned about time reporting, we did make the decision system-wide to make a temporary change for civil service vacation accruals. So if you have civil service employees or you are a civil service employee, you know that your vacation accrual, you must accrue first and then you're able to use. And each of the two different types of civil service accrual tables, whether you are exempt from overtime under FLSA or non-exempt, meaning you're eligible for overtime, and based on your years of service, there are maximum accrual limits that you can accrue vacation leave that you then stop accruing if you don't use time. So we did make the decision at the highest level system-wide that during this time period, because employees are likely not able to use vacation time or have had to cancel vacations during this time period because it crossed over spring break period, that we have turned off those accrual limits for the civil service accruals. We will turn them back on once we are back in the office and employees are able to start using some vacation time. You can use vacation time now, but we do recognize that it may not be the ideal time to use it, and employees did have to cancel vacations they already had planned. So once we return to our working sites, we will make a decision on at what point we're going to turn those back on. But there will be a time period where employees are able to use time with supervisor and unit approval so that once we turn those limits back on, hopefully you will not be at the max and lose any time at that point. So that will be communicated once we know more about the timing of when we'll be back in the office and then how much time, how many pay periods that will give you to use some time. The other thing that typically happens around this time period, so just want to give you a heads up that we'll be sending out soon the FY21 holiday schedule. So we always get a lot of questions and people wanting to know, you know, when's the 4th of July holiday, the paid day. So we are finalizing that and getting approval at the chancellor and VP levels, and then we'll be able to communicate that here very soon, and then our systems will be updated, our academic vacation and sick leave system will be updated with all of those holidays. So that will be coming. The other questions that we're getting about are other things that typically start happening here in the spring, over the summer, such as performance appraisals. We've not made any decisions on if we're going to extend the deadline, which, as you know, in the system office is now August, that we have all the performance appraisals completed by August 15th. We'll be communicating more once we, you know, determine how far out we're going to be impacted and if we should be moving those dates. So definitely we'll let you know if anything changes and be communicating that once we have more information and can look out, you know, a couple of months and see what's going to happen in terms of if you'll be able to do an accurate assessment of your employees' performance. So we'll let you know that here as soon as we know so that you can plan accordingly to get those done, but whatever the deadline is going to be. And those were some of the things that have been, you know, we've been working on as well as what Ann and Angela and Katie and Denise have mentioned, that a lot of things that have been happening on the HR side. And now I think we have plenty of time, about 15, 20 minutes for questions and answers. I see some of them have come in through the chat box and it looks like people are answering those for us. Yes, we're going to have the PowerPoint available on our website. If not today, then by tomorrow. We've also recorded this, so that will also be out there in case anybody wasn't able to join and wants to watch the actual recording. And I think Angela answered this, but there's a question about if there's going to be an extension of vacation time used for AP staff so that, you know, as we roll over in August, you know, the normal process and policy is that if you have any more than 48 days, those do not roll over at the beginning of the academic year. We've not made decisions on that. We are certainly watching that, but we're waiting to see at what point we are in back somewhat to the office to where employees can start using time over the summer. So that would be a system-wide decision that would need to be agreed upon among all the universities and system offices. So if there is going to be a change of that, we will certainly notify you as early as we can, but we're waiting to see, since AP employees have until August 15th to use time, if that's going to be necessary for us to do that. So we'll open it up now to any questions, and you're welcome to take your phones off mute if you want to ask your question, or you're also welcome to type it in if anybody has any.
Hey, good morning, Jamie. How are you? This is Sharla. I do have one question that you maybe guys didn't touch on. What type of programming or resources you have for people that are dealing with like high stress, like the Employee Assistance Program, EAP? Can you provide or add a slide or send out information people that are going through high stress as it relates to coping during this time period?
Sure, absolutely. So each of our universities, as you know, they have a faculty staff assistance program. I know that they are still operating remotely and talking to staff on the phone. And so we can send out that information and the contact of, depending on which university you're located at. We also have the state plan. And, you know, Katie can jump in here and talk about that, but that is available. I'm not sure if they are doing remote visits or not, but we can find that out for sure and send that information out. Because there are quite a few, yes, resources, Charlene, and we recognize that employees are experiencing this, you know, very unique situation in lots of different ways. As Teresa mentioned, you know, we've tried to put as many resources on our webpage, but a lot of it is reading articles. It's not the same as talking to someone. So, yes, we'll certainly send out what is available for employees.
Thank you, Jamie.
Anyone else? And Jackie did put the link up there in the chat box to that list and also to the page on our website that has the employee assistance programs at each of the universities, the contact information. Any other questions? No? Well, hopefully this has been helpful. We tried to cover as much content as we could in an hour just to give you some updates to make sure that you're as informed as we are on anything that has changed or will be changing that we're aware of. And, you know, we certainly can do these, you know, again in a few weeks if you think it would be helpful. If there are any changes, we'd happy to do that. I know we've also been sending lots of communications and emails, but we also recognize you're getting lots of communications and emails, and we're trying to be sensitive to not overload your inbox with so many resources and trying to figure out what's really helpful. So we're trying to be very cognizant of that and only sending you communications that are really things that you need to be aware of and read, and because we know you're getting lots of things from different resources. So we appreciate you taking the time on this early Tuesday morning. And if you think of questions, don't hesitate to email any of us or the group you know, give us a call. We're all available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 at least, if not before and after, over lunches. And we're here to help and do anything we can to make this, you know, this whole situation as workable as we can for you. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great Tuesday. And